of more than $18 trillion that's invested in the US mutual fund market, over $8 trillion of that is people's taxable money, their after-tax money. So not their 401k or not assets that are sheltered from taxes at all. It's their after-tax money. Unfortunately, most equity mutual funds are not explicitly tax managed and actually have significant tax drag. In the US large cap space, for the average actively managed mutual fund, over 2% of the return that you might have seen in your portfolio last year, if you're a taxable investor, was eaten away through taxes. Outside of the US, whether it was the average actively managed fund or the average passive fund, you're looking at just over 1% of tax drag last year. The opportunity for many financial advisors out there is to look at clients who are part of that over $8 trillion, investors that really need a better job done on their after-tax investing, but are not getting what they need from traditional mutual funds.
Welcome to the Russell Investments Podcast, where we take a deep dive into the world of investing. I'm Sophie Antel-Gibert, Consulting Director for Russell Investments Advisor and Intermediary Solutions Business. For those of you who have tuned into our podcast regularly this year, you may have caught on to the fact that at Russell Investments, we're obsessed, in a good way, about tax-smart investing. In previous episodes, we've delved into the value of tax-smart investing and into the six key questions advisors should be asking about tax-smart investing. Today, we're going to continue on the tax-smart investing theme and turn our attention to the value of tax-smart investing within international equity. To the extent that advisors think about tax-smart investing, their mind usually goes to muni bonds. And if they think about tax-smart investing in the equity part of their portfolio, some of the common strategies they try to adopt are typically tax loss harvesting or maybe keeping portfolio turnover low or focusing on yield. Those sorts of strategies apply in the international equity space too, but they quickly become complex. Think foreign tax codes, currency effects, different market cycles, etc. To help us get a better understanding of the issues at play, I'm joined by our Senior Portfolio Manager for Global Equity, John Eggens.
Thanks, Sophie.
It's good to see you, John.
Yeah, you too.
So, John, strange as it may seem to you, who obviously manages tax-sensitive portfolios, I think it's safe to assume that most investors don't wake up in the morning thinking, score, today I get to maximize after-tax returns in international equity portfolios. I'm so excited.
I wish they did, but I understand.
So I'm curious, how is tax-smart investing in international equities different from, say, managing for taxes in a purely U.S. equity portfolio? Maybe you can help unpack that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. The most important thing for managing an equity portfolio, whether it's the U.S. or international, in the most tax-friendly way possible, is really two things. You want to get to the end of the year, the end of the tax year, not having distributed a gain. And in particular, if you have distributed any gains at all, you want those to be long-term versus short-term. So avoiding the distribution of capital gains and making any gains long-term versus short-term is critical. The second is you want to avoid unnecessary dividend yield, and you want to avoid, in particular, yield that might be non-qualified. Real estate investment trusts are non-qualified. The dividends from countries that don't have tax treaties with the US, and there are not too many of those. Most of them, I'm from Australia, we have a tax treaty with the US, but not everyone gets along with the US, and not everyone has gone, if they're not a major trading partner, may not have engaged in that. And so we tend to find this in emerging markets more so. And so some of the key challenges is just being aware of every single security, where it's listed, what tax rules apply, and whether or not that security is likely to be more tax friendly or less tax friendly. In many cases, if we have a manager who would like to buy a security in the emerging markets, often you can buy an ADR, an American Depositary Receipt, which is the same stock, the same fundamental economic exposure, but it's listed in the US. So there are little things like that you can do. Being aware of currency is also really important. Currency gains can sometimes be treated as income. And so it's important to be aware of how you're engaging in currency transactions when buying these foreign stocks as well. But the key message is if you're managing it thoughtfully throughout the year, if you're loss harvesting throughout the year so you can avoid distributing at the end of the year, and if you're very careful on yield, those two key things really are how you can be successful outside of the US in after-tax investing.
Do the unique tax treaty and currency situations mean that when you're thinking about an international tax smart portfolio, are you focused mostly on developed market opportunities? Or you mentioned emerging markets and the potential for ADRs. How much are you also focusing on emerging market opportunities, and what are some of the synergies there?
When we thought about investing in this marketplace, there you do have a choice outside of the US to include or exclude those emerging markets. We think it is valuable to do so from a return and a diversification perspective over the long run. We also like the allocation to emerging markets from a shorter term, 12 to 18 month view right now, based on our cycle valuation and sentiment assessment of where we are in the macro economy and what's going on in those individual markets. We like the stock selection opportunity in emerging markets. So some of our active managers are able to deploy their stock selection strategies even more effectively in emerging markets. That's all the fun stuff. That's all of the return generation. From a tax efficiency perspective, those tax treaty issues make things challenging, but the volatility in emerging markets make things really interesting. The extra volatility in emerging markets means you've got more chances that any given stock or any given region might have gone down over a short period of time. And that cross-sectional volatility of stocks going up and down through time, that's really the fuel that we use to loss harvest that helps us avoid paying those capital gains at the end of the year.
I'm wondering, when you're putting an international tax smart portfolio together and looking for those managers who are going to manage the active part of any portfolio, do you look for something different in an international or emerging markets money manager for tax smart portfolios than you would for regular portfolios that don't have a tax smart goal?
The general answer is actually no. There are some money management approaches that have ultra high turnover, anything north of 100, 150% of turning over a year, that can be very challenging for after-tax investing. If you think of a strategy like that, you're going to see a lot of short-term gains that are realized through that strategy. There aren't that many managers like that out there. And so aside from that small subset, the rest of the active management community is kind of open game. So fortunately, we get to be relatively unconstrained in the types of external money managers that we're able to deploy in our after-tax portfolios. I think one framing that I often think of when assessing how we go about building a tax-managed portfolio is to look at the marketplace and realize that there's a couple of options for investors in after-tax investing. You could go passive, for example. You could pick one of those mutual funds that is not tax-managed. In both cases, you tend to see very large tax drags. Last year, in 2017, even the passive alternatives, the average passive international fund, according to Morningstar, had a little bit more than 1% of tax drag, even in a passive alternative. And so,
That's surprising, because typically passive alternatives are considered to be relatively tax friendly.
They can be. There's a little bit of a misconception that low turnover is always good and high turnover is always bad in after-tax investing. As it turns out, it's a little bit Goldilocks. A moderate amount of turnover is really productive. Passive vehicles, when they do trade because of cash flows or because of rebalancing of the index, tend to be agnostic to the tax consequences. And anything that they hold, they've probably held for a while, so is often at a gain. In addition, you tend to get the entire market in a passive solution, which includes all of the securities and even those higher dividend yield ones and those non-qualified dividend yield securities. So when we put our portfolios together, what we're really trying to do is make the most of the active management opportunity set, pick the best managers we can find, be unconstrained about that, and then deliver it in a tax-friendly wrapper that allows us to be even more tax-friendly than that passive alternative.
You mentioned earlier that market volatility is a friend of tax smart portfolios and tax smart investors because it offers tax loss harvesting opportunities. International, developed, and emerging markets have been on quite a tear for much of the past 2 years. Now, of course, it's rewarding to have positive market returns. We all love that. But for someone who's trying to harvest losses, that must present some challenges. Mm-hmm. So how do you go about finding tax smart investing opportunities in that sort of environment?
Over the last couple of years, 2017 was obviously a year of pretty steady market gains and not a lot of volatility. But you don't have to go back that far. In early 2016, international investing was definitely not in favor back then. There was a China growth scare that led to many international markets and especially emerging markets selling off quite dramatically. We actually viewed that as both an investment opportunity and a tax opportunity at the same time. It was a great chance to allocate more to emerging markets at attractive prices, allocate to active managers that were, we thought, able to exploit that extra stock volatility for gain in even a pre-tax setting. But the opportunity to harvest losses at that time within the emerging markets was really very, very rich. And so that was one great example over the last couple of years of a really big opportunity to harvest losses. In that case, a lot of it was in China and the emerging markets. As time goes by, as the markets kind of recovered, you still need to be focused and paying attention at all times for individual market areas or individual stocks even that might be trading off and might provide a loss harvesting opportunity. Even in an up market, there are some stocks that have gone down. If you have a broad and diversified portfolio, there is always an opportunity to exploit some cross-sectional volatility of names that might have gone down over a short period of time. So absolutely, when it's early February 2018 and it's heyday and the market's more volatile than it has been, that's when we're most aggressively loss harvesting in the portfolio, selling those areas of the market that have gone down the most, and purchasing other areas of the equity market. It's really critical not to just wait until December, like many, many individual investors will do, to see if there are any losses to harvest. 2016 and 2017 would have been disappointing for many investors if they waited until December to harvest losses to help offset gains. However, there's a whole host of things you can do, even when the markets are sort of steadily churning up, that are tax-friendly activities. We've had some examples where a security might get taken over in a portfolio and see a pretty large gain that might be a short-term gain. Just delaying the sale of that security until it goes long-term. Simple blocking and tackling like that can help get the fund in a better sort of tax-friendly situation. You also asked a little bit about the kind of the market environment in international as well. And we do definitely see strong, even pre-tax investment opportunities outside of the US right now. You know, we often hear people say that when America sneezes, the rest of the world might catch a cold.
Mm-hmm.
And so the U.S. equity market has outperformed international for quite some time. It's gotten to the point where, in our opinion, the valuations are really quite staggering here in the U.S. relative to non-U.S. markets like emerging markets, Japan and Europe. So while that saying may be true, I worry about the immune system of the U.S. economy and the U.S. markets when valuations are as high as they are. So sort of layering in those tax opportunities outside of the U.S. as well as sort of the market and the return opportunity is quite exciting right now.
So, John, I'm curious, as we're wrapping up our conversation, what are some reasons from your perspective that you would encourage people to really consider international tax smart investing now that would maybe be different now as opposed to, say, a year or two or even 3 years ago?
Even though there's been some pretty meaningful tax drag, I mentioned 1% or so for active and passive international funds over the last couple of years, that has actually been artificially deflated because of large capital loss carryforwards that have been in international equity portfolios since the financial crisis. So basically, any selling that those funds did during the financial crisis were done at meaningful losses. And that generated a very large capital loss carryforward for almost every international mutual fund that has kind of been with them, helping to shelter against capital gains over the last decade.
Oh, so they've been able to offset their gains with these capital loss carryforwards
from 2008, 2009.
So there is a bit of a silver lining to the global financial crisis, it sounds like.
It's the only one, yes. However, after 10 years, those capital loss carryforwards expire. And so even funds that had those capital loss carryforwards, it's about to go away. And so I wouldn't be surprised to see next year's tax statements be even more disappointing for non-US investors who've been investing in non-tax managed vehicles.
Oh, right. Because then that shield will sort of disappear and they'll feel the full brunt of all of the capital gains that have happened in the last few years with markets running up.
Absolutely.
Thank you, John. Thanks a lot for your time and thanks for your insights. That was really helpful to hear. What are some of the market opportunities that you and your team are currently seeing within the international equity space, both developed and emerging, based on relative valuations looking attractive in those regions compared to some other regions? Also, the point that you made about the expiring capital loss carry forwards and that sort of being, you know, a sense of urgency about why now really is, if we haven't looked at international tax smart investing opportunities until now, now might be an especially good time to do that because of these expiring capital loss carry forwards. And lastly, the fact that, again, a helpful reminder of this takes skill. This is complicated stuff. There's people who focus on this day in and day out and do this 24/7, 365 days a year. This it is hard to do. So for anybody who's trying to do this on their own, kudos to them. And, you know, super, super brave star. But that's not necessarily necessary. And, you know, it makes a difference to have a team of experts and specialists around you, whether those are underlying money managers, whether it's strategists, whether it's portfolio managers, money manager researchers. I mean, there's a whole host of people and then expert traders that are there to help investors be able to invest in a tax smart way internationally as well. So thank you, John. And thank you all for joining our conversation today. If you liked what you heard about tax smart investing and would like to have even more content on that topic, you can search our podcast queue for two other episodes about tax smart investing. One, a conversation that I had with John Eggens on tax managed investing more broadly, and another one with Rob Kaharik on six questions advisors should be asking about tax smart investing today. We will be back soon with a new deep dive episode. Thank you. This episode was recorded on May 24th, 2018.